From Charter Hall and Banish, this is Sustainability Further. I'm your host, Lottie DL. You're listening to Sustainability Further, a podcast by Charter Hall. One of Australia's leading property groups, Charter Hall is focused on creating innovative spaces and going further to build a better future for all. Sally Quinn is the CEO and founder of Green Collect, an organisation which works to repurpose and reuse office waste. Their approach is to design out waste, providing a next of life for items rather than an end of life. They go one step further, providing employment opportunities for those in need. So Sally, it is a pleasure to have you on the podcast today. First of all, I wanted to ask you, what does the word sustainability mean to you?
Thanks, Lottie. Sustainability, I think about in quite a holistic way. And I guess for me, it's about connectedness and balance. And I suppose what I mean by there, sustainability makes me think about the exchanges, the giving and taking of things, and whether that's between people and the earth or people and people, wanting to make sure that those exchanges are balanced and they're caring. And that, I suppose, state of things being balanced is what I think sustainability is.
Great. And I think that's a really interesting answer because it is kind of giving back almost more than you take, which is something that is very hard to do in this day and age.
Yeah, we naturally give out and we naturally take. And I suppose it's being mindful about that balance. And when we think about natural resources and the environment, as we use those, we also need to be thinking, how do we replenish these? How do we make sure we're not taking more than is being returned back into those systems? And I guess I also think about that personally too, when we give out energy and we invest in things, how are we replenishing that? How are we making sure that there's some sense of balance so that, you know, we're not being unhealthy or causing harm? So it is kind of, yeah, it's interesting that giving and taking and how you find balance in your life as well as when you think about the planet.
Oh, that elusive balance that we're all chasing and somewhere just not always getting it completely right. So speaking of giving and taking, but from a business perspective, that is kind of what you have brought into your social enterprise, Green Collect. So for our audience that haven't heard of Green Collect before, could you explain a little bit about what Green Collect is and then how you got started?
Yeah, sure. So like you said, Green Collect's a social enterprise. So we run a business, we run an enterprise, but the focus of that is for our key purposes that are both social and environmental. So we wanted to start a business that would achieve deep impacts for people and planet. And so for us, it's holding that balance of running a business and generating income while also holding very carefully the environmental and social impacts and making sure they all work together so that the whole is productive and the whole is achieving our purposes. So it's balancing that income generation and running of a business while we're wanting to, or in a way that enables us to work for good for people and the planet. And so for Green Collect, the area of business we are in is about resource recovery and circular economy. So we call ourselves circular economy practitioners. So doing the actual work of capturing resources at the point where they would have been end of life or surplus, and often they would go to landfill. But what we do is work with companies and businesses so that when they're at the end of life with any office resources, however big or small, we guarantee the best environmental outcome, which is generally about bringing those resources back into circulation.
No, it's amazing. And I think it's one of my favorite things about what Green Collect is doing is that first and foremost, you look to reuse. You don't look to recycle. Mm-hmm. And I was reading on your website before this that 60% of the items that you get actually get reused and then 35% get dismantled and recycled. So why is this approach so important to you?
Yeah, look, when we think about resources, the best thing we can do is either keep them retain their value or try to increase their value. So what happens with recycling is that the materials are downgraded in their value. So they might be pelletized, granulated, and the materials at that point are actually losing value and they become a commodity that's worth less. And actually in doing that, recycling uses a lot of energy. So it's a very energy intensive process. So recycling, what we know now is recycling isn't the answer to everything. I think 10, 15 years ago, it was all about recycling. That was the best thing you could do for the environment. But what we know now is recycling, especially at Green Collect, it's our last resort. So what we're looking for initially is how can we make sure these resources get stay at the value that they have or increased. So what I mean by that is everything that comes in through our warehouse, we assess and we test, we repair so that that item can be used again in the original purpose it was intended for. So in doing that, we're saving on the cost of manufacturing new goods, the cost of transporting new goods, and all of the natural resources that are used in those processes. So reuse just ticks all the boxes really as the easiest kind of way that just makes sense to put less pressure on the environment.
No, I think it's an amazing model. Do you find that there is a large appetite for these items in their kind of, you would call them secondhand state, but as you said, you're kind of increasing their value?
Yeah, look, we talk about the reuse economy and we know globally the reuse economy is growing. We know just even in our own lives, a lot of us buy secondhand clothes and we're already converted to this reuse economy. We do this in cars, even houses. I mean, when you think about life, we're actually mainly reusing things. But there has been a little bit of a blind spot, I think, and that is around office resources and stationery. They're not items that are typically thought of as being in the reuse economy or secondhand market. So our services really try to promote that. So we say, you know, make your first choice secondhand. So if you're buying stationery, if you're buying things for your office fit out, what is already made and existing that you could purchase? And so for us, we have a beautiful showroom. We really highlight the value of resources rather than people thinking, oh, secondhand's not as good. When it comes to some of these things, especially office furniture, a lot of what comes through offices is very high quality, made in Europe, and you can actually buy something of a much superior quality than you would if you were to buy new at one of the big box stationery stores. So it's kind of trying to get people to think in that way about stationery and office resources.
Yeah, so you're almost like giving it a rebrand because I think you're right. Secondhand often has this kind of, you visualize something that's a bit tatty or you'll get a chair that's a bit scuffed or one of the wheels doesn't work or something like that. When in actual fact, the reason why this chair or what have you might not be being used now is because of an office relocation or something like that. And it's in perfectly good condition and good nick. Mm. So just a complete gear change as well, because there are so many things that I want to talk to you about today, and I'm conscious of time. Green Collect also kind of goes through the kind of social sustainability and social responsibility pillar by employing people who have previously experienced barriers to employment. So what was your journey towards becoming an inclusive employer and also trainer?
Yeah. So this is really the heart of why we started the enterprise. So my first career was in social work and social policy. So I mainly worked in the homelessness sector and I loved that work. I really, really highly value being able to engage and share life with people who had a different life transition or have had a different life experience and just really wanted to, I suppose, find out from people who were facing housing crisis what was it they really wanted, and people really want a home, and that obviously for a lot of people is really tricky. And we know that there's not enough good quality housing stock for everyone who's facing housing crisis. But what most of the women I worked with said to me was, I just want a job, because if I had a job, I could enter the private rental market. And so that I started to realize that accessible, supportive employment was actually one of the underused levers when it comes to addressing homelessness. So I worked with women around trying to find employment that would fit around their circumstances, that would be supportive and it would be flexible and it would be meaningful and help build, you know, sense of community and all these things, but found that it was hard to find those employers, and it was hard to find durable work that could withstand ups and downs of life. So the kind of dream for me and for my partner, Darren, was imagine we could start a company where we opened up the doors, firstly, to people who needed employment in a crisis situation, rather than kind of saying you need to fix up your crisis to be employable. Well, actually, the best way to start to rebuild is through having an opportunity. So that's where we kind of thought, yes, let's start a company, and we're obviously passionate about the environment. So it was really those two things came together. Here's an opportunity, because we were seeing materials and whole offices go into skips, you know, when it still happens today, but even, you know, 15 years ago, even more so, you'd just see perfectly good things in big skips going to landfill. So we thought there's an opportunity to do better there, and the people we employ will be the sorts of people we're seeing don't have those opportunities.
No, I think it's really, really amazing, and it is powerful, because it's almost like a chicken and an egg analogy, like what comes first? And I think if you can provide that opportunity, it's so powerful and it can impact so much more as well. It's just this amazing kind of chain and roll-on effect as well. Mm. So you just mentioned offices throwing everything into a giant skip bin when they're kind of relocating or moving different businesses. So what are a couple of other things that you'd love to see workplaces do to be more sustainable?
Yeah, look, I think everyone in their workplace is busy and under pressure, and it's hard. Even when you want to do the right thing, we often have clients ring and say, oh, we're moving and we thought we were going to be able to give all this stuff to my kids' kinder, or we thought we were going to be able to deliver the fridge here, and actually now, you know, we actually have to be out within 24 hours. It's crept up on us. What can you help, you know? So we're very responsive in those moments, because we know that it's hard to find solutions when you're under pressure. So I guess, you know, my kind of step back in that is that to build in circular supply chain approaches from the beginning helps, so that when you are clearing out, you know, oh, this is what we do with end of life, or this is how we purchase. So building in circular economy or sustainable purchasing practices to the life of a company means that when you hit those pain points or times where things need to change, you already have those established relationships. So I think it's the purchasing end. We need to buy, you know, stationery. We need to buy furniture. We need to buy consumables for our office. What's the best purchasing choice from an environmental and social perspective? So I think building in that supply chain, both for the start of life when you're setting things up, but also recognizing there is end of life where things are surplus to your needs, and knowing that there's a solution with a company such as Green Collect who can come in and ensure that those resources then go on to their next life somewhere else. So I think supply chain is one of those things, thinking about where did the stuff we get in here come from and what happens when it leaves here. So that's kind of, I guess, the service that Green Collect offers that I just think is such an amazing service, in that we can then report back and say, through this move or when you were clearing out, this was what you saved in terms of CO2 emissions. This is what you achieved environmentally, and this is what you achieved in social impact. However many hours of employment were created for people who were from refugee backgrounds or from homelessness backgrounds. So for us, I guess, we feel like we tick a lot of those boxes.
No, I think it's amazing and it's really important. And I think sometimes for companies that may have been on the fence or just had that one person within the organization who's going, we should do this,
yeah,
having those tangible metrics to be able to kind of go back to the business or the organization and say, this is the impact that we've had, is really powerful and something that is measurable, because I think we used to have to always push the business case for sustainability and it's not as much the case anymore. But if we have some metrics and some data and some statistics behind that, it does really help the case in
most
cases. Yeah,
for sure. And I think people really want to feel engaged with that and know that their company, you know, at the highest level, you know, their commitment to the sustainable development goals or reducing CO2 emissions, that permeates throughout the whole organization, that the person who is making the decision on where, you know, the monitors all go at the end of their life knows that the commitment of their company filters down to those individual decisions where the rubber hits the road of, do we put this in landfill or is there a better way? And I think we really, when people come out to our warehouse and see what we do, it's such a powerful thing as well, getting a visual on it, because often waste and resources are invisible. They just get taken away and often we don't know where they end up, whereas in our facility here, you can see all of our teardown, all of our testing, all of our prep for resale, that it's done locally and it creates jobs. And I think it's that kind of connection with what happens next that helps people feel like, that was such a great choice. I'm so glad our company did that. I know that we're working towards a better world, even, you know, if the company is not through its actual work environmentally focused, the way we do business can have such a massive impact on the planet.
I think that's really exciting and it does really help. It's so simple, just actually seeing where everything goes and seeing the process behind it is so amazing, because it's not really available in so many different services and options. You kind of click your fingers, somebody comes and then you just wave whatever it is goodbye and you don't really know or understand what happens to it. So I think
yeah. So when we think about respecting and valuing resources and the planet, we can't not think about respecting people and people's well-being, that these two things are so intertwined. And for Green Collect, thinking about where can we have greatest impact, we work environmentally in those spaces where things aren't being used or there's no service for. So we're often devising a new solution for a form of waste that there's no solution for. So we're thinking about where's the greatest environmental impact, and it's in that innovation, creating new solutions for resources. And we think similarly about our social impact. Where's the greatest need and where are the gaps in employment and inclusive employment? And what's really been apparent to us, particularly over COVID, is that some of the hardest hit communities or groups of people are young people who've had their education and early working life disrupted, and also women. So they're two key areas for us when we're looking at new job creation. So over the next 3 years, we're creating 60 new jobs in the enterprise, and we're focusing those on young people, particularly those who've come through the justice system, and also young women who've been working in industries that have been hard hit. So we really try to target our impact where it's most needed in the community, both from an environmental and social perspective.
It's amazing, and it's just amazing all of the work that Green Collect is doing. So congratulations and keep going.
Thanks, Lottie. It's been really lovely to speak with you.
This conversation is part of Charter Hall and Banish's podcast series, Sustainability Further. This series has been designed to inspire Australians to be more environmentally responsible and to take climate action. Sustainability Further is produced by Banish. Charter Hall's purpose is to create better futures by bringing aspirations to life.